Who's casting tomorrow?
Your colleague in showing up late.
All right. Who's that? Mr. Malumba, what are you talking about?
No, Chumweka, bye.
This time check was brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
Phoenix FM. Check.
There we go.
106.7. Bonzi.
It's 8 hours, and now we get into the main news.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
We're now only 1 million na Absa. Play your cards right, Muntu Anzi, and you could win big. Simply tap or swipe any of your Absa cards 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 spin in monthly prizes or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Salilo boo, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
Headline. Emerald sector players bemoan neglect despite recent artisanal and small-scale mining in Saka success. UPND says one good rainy season won't end power shortages despite bumper harvest. Trump hails Charlie Kirk as American hero as thousands fill memorial service. Present the news. I'm Lucivilo Conway. The Emerald Production Watch of Zambia President Musa Kafimbwa says the country's emerald sector still feels neglected within the ongoing efforts to support, formalize, and equip artisanal and small-scale miners, despite the recent successful insaka on the artisanal and small-scale mining sector. In an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Kafimbwa has described the emerald sector as the white elephant of mining in Zambia, noting that while the recent insaka on artisanal and small-scale mining was a positive step, its outcomes remain unsatisfactory for semi-precious stone miners. He claims that a few greedy individuals have hijacked the sector, controlling the market, pricing, and operations, and has suggested the need to select a limited number of licensees, create a dedicated allocation, and prioritize the emerald sector with the attention gold and copper mining receive. Despite these challenges, Mr. Kafimbwa has acknowledged that progress is being made in formalizing the artisanal and small-scale mining sector across various minerals in Zambia, particularly gold and copper. With the government recently holding the first ever insaka on artisanal and small-scale mining in Zambia, he is optimistic that these efforts will ultimately benefit license holders, especially at small-scale level.
The head of state wants to support the small-scale license holders. He's supporting families, supporting Zambian people to benefit, to enhance the minerals which are godly given. So in principle, we are not too comfortable with the emerald sector. Why? We were thinking that to have a separate allocation. You know, emerald sector has been the white elephant for the couple of years now, and the challenges faced by the small scale and the artisanal in the emerald business actually very identical. For example, we have licenses been renewed for the couple of years, maybe 25, 20, 30 years at most.
The United Party for National Development, UPND Deputy Secretary General, Gertrude Yemenda, says the 2024 to 2025 rainy season benefited the agriculture sector but failed to ease the country's energy crisis. In an interview with Phoenix News, Ms. Yemenda claims that the drought Zambia experienced was so severe that even one good rainfall season was inadequate to restore energy security. She has noted that while the agriculture sector recorded a bumper harvest due to improved rainfall patterns, the energy sector continues to struggle, with hydroelectric power generation still reeling from the devastating impact of the drought. Ms. Imbanda emphasized that it will take more than a single good rainy season for the energy sector to recover and for power supply to stabilize. However, she has reaffirmed the UPND government's commitment to diversifying Zambia's energy mix and reducing over-reliance on hydropower.
Now, understand the science of this. The rains that fell was good enough for agriculture, but it did not meet the required level for hydroelectricity generation. It did not reach the level because when we had that drought, the water table, understand what I'm talking about? Water table, that's the water level underground, has gone so low that even the good rains of one season was not enough to bring that level to the normal level, such that now you would have excess water passing through the rivers and the streams and so on. If you look at it, the streams that take water into the Kashuwe, into the Zambezi, some of them dried up even after the good rains.
Economist Dr. Esther Banda has urged governments to establish an energy transition fund to support small and medium enterprises, SMEs, and help them remain operational throughout the day. Dr. Banda says such a fund will increase access to affordable alternative energy sources such as solar power, particularly for startup businesses. In an interview with Phoenix News, Dr. Banda notes that while government has introduced various interventions to boost SME growth, the ongoing energy crisis continues to stifle small businesses. She has further appealed to power utility ZESCO to consider introducing specific electricity tariffs for SMEs, proposing a temporary lower rate for critical enterprises to help them stabilize over a period of about a year.
What could be done more differently is that there could be at least certain energy transition funds for SMEs. So probably there could be a dedicated fund to help SMEs invest in, we could talk about solar PV plus battery backup. This could come at a very cheaper cost, specifically to especially the startup SMEs. And of course, an assessment would have to be done, for instance, what kind of a business are they doing? How much energy consumption is this? So this should be done in a way that it is co-funded, of course, by certain developing partners, example, even ZESCO itself.
Government has expressed concern over the growing number of road traffic accidents in the country, pledging stronger measures to enhance road safety. The Minister of Transport and Logistics, Frank Tayali, says the success of interventions is hinged on motorists' support through observing safe driving practices, while assuring the public that government is equally committed to improving road infrastructure to help reduce accidents. Mr. Tayali says one of the key interventions will be the launch of the Motorcycle Safety Foundation project, aimed at sensitizing riders on safe road usage. In an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Tayali says many motorcyclists riders though they're on bicycles, often without training or valid licenses, a situation he describes as a major risk on the roads. He has emphasized the need to ensure that all riders are trained and issued with proper documentation to curb accidents, adding that the project will particularly target areas with a surge in motorcycle use, such as Chapada and Solwezi.
That soon rather than later we'll also be establishing what we're calling Motorcyclist Safety Foundation, which can basically ensure that these riders are not just getting onto a bike and then take off as if they're riding a bicycle. It is also a form of motorized transport, and therefore they have to be trained and they have to be issued with licenses to be on the road. So drivers really must help the government. We don't want to be losing our youthful population to these accidents, but that as a government will play our part to improve the road infrastructure so that that as a factor contributing to road accidents can be, you know, drastically lessened.
In global news, U.S. President Donald Trump has hailed the conservative activist Charlie Kirk as a great American hero and martyr during a speech to tens of thousands of mourners at a memorial service in Arizona. Trump was the headline speaker at the packed event on Sunday, which saw top officials from his administration, including Vice President J.D. Vance, praise Kirk's political legacy after he was shot dead.